You are listening to the Sweet Tooth Vegan Podcast, a show dedicated to fostering genuine relationships within the plant-based and vegan community. I'm your host, Shalina. The Sweet Tooth Vegan Podcast is available to listen on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, CastBox, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Radio Public, and Spotify. Thank you for listening. Episode 35. Wow. Can't believe we reached this far with the podcast. 35 episodes. Amazing, amazing, amazing. I just want to say a quick thank you to those that have been listening from the beginning. I really, really appreciate your support. So in this episode, I had the opportunity to learn from Soul Eubanks about animal activism. And he is a videographer and plant-based educator, as well as an animal activist, hailing from Ohio, originally from Ohio, and he lives in Atlanta. And I was a little bit nervous and kind of skeptical prior to this interview because my perception and experience with animal activists, especially vegan ones, have been quite negative. Unfortunately, but thankfully this convo was pretty laid back, and after all, there are kind, calm animal activists out there. So without further ado, here is episode 35. So you're the first guest on my show that is an animal activist, and this is also the first time I'm discussing or exploring this topic. So I was wondering if you could define animal activism and what does it entail for those listeners that may not be familiar with it?
Okay, well, I guess I'll explain some of the activism I do, but I also know that it's not limited to that. And it's also like what I do doesn't have to be like, it's not the measurement of activism either. Mm-hmm. So what I do personally is I co-organized for two Atlanta chapters of different forms of animal activism. So one is called Anonymous for the Voiceless, and the other is called the SAVE Movement. So with Anonymous for the Voiceless, what we do is we wear the Guy Fawkes masks, which are the masks from the V for Vendetta, and we dress in all black, and what we do is we stand back to back or side to side in like a cube formation in these artistic demonstrations called the Cube of Truth. And what we do is we hold devices, laptops, or computers, and we show slaughterhouse footage to the public. So we'll be in a crowded place on a street corner, and we'll be in all black with a mask, holding the computers out, showing slaughterhouse footage. And the people that come by and watch the footage, we have conversations with them, and we advocate a vegan diet and a vegan lifestyle. And we just educate people about what happens to these animals in different forms of animal cruelty as it pertains to like animal agriculture, or just any industry that exploits animals. So that's Anonymous for the Voiceless, and the SAVE Movement is pretty much a organization where we protest outside of slaughterhouses to make people aware that when a slaughterhouse is located in their neighborhood or around where they stay, and also we film the trucks going into the slaughterhouse and we share the footage online, so it makes it more personal when people that you know are documenting these events and sharing it with friends and family. Mm-hmm. It's not just like some isolated footage from some, you know, part of the world where you have no personal connection with it. If you see someone that you know documenting the film, you take it a lot more serious. So those are two of the organizations that I do advocacy with. But like I said, but, you know, there are different types of advocacy. So you can do things from simply just bumper stickers on your cars, wearing T-shirts with animal rights messages, signing petitions, or you can do things as more intense as like, what do they call them? Or they go in and they call rescue. So they go in and take animals from the slaughterhouses or industries that hold these animals. They go in and do what they call open rescues. So it's a spectrum. So you can do anything from, you know, disrupt grocery stores where people go in and they may stand in a single formation with signs saying, that are against the dairy and meat industry, and they speak inside of the grocery store, like on a megaphone, and they go in for a couple minutes, they do a quick protest on private property, and they go out real quick. So advocacy is just, you know, speaking up against the injustice in whatever way that you feel that resonates with you, because all activism is for everyone. Like, I don't do personally, I'm not a fan of disruptions, but I do Cubes of Truth and do things with the SAVE movement, but I'm not like, put sticks on my heart. So it's just depending on where you fall in. But as long as you're making the general public aware that animal suffering is happening and that it doesn't have to happen for our pleasure, I think anything that's in line with that is a form of advocacy.
Wow. Thanks for sharing. So how did you, like, why did you get involved in animal activism? Like, what's the story behind that?
So I guess I've never really felt super comfortable eating animals. I think around the time I was 13, I stopped eating pigs, and I didn't want to, like, become a vegetarian all at one time. So I took a couple of years, then I stopped eating cows, and then I stopped eating chicken and turkey. So by the time I was 17, I was vegetarian. So that was kind of like the roots of becoming a vegan or getting into activism. But I don't know, even when I was younger, so I was a vegetarian when I was younger, and I also, just being a black male in America, I was just aware of social issues and aware of the mistreatment and the oppression of beings, you know. So I've always been a proponent of speaking out against injustice. So I did some stuff with, did some small stuff with, like, Black Lives Matter. I don't want to blow it out of proportion like I was, like, integral or anything like that. No, I just kind of went to a couple protests and things like that. But that was the roots of me becoming, like, comfortable with just speaking out against injustice. But once I saw this movie called Cowspiracy, that was the turning point of me going vegan. And then maybe 6 months after that, I started to understand that I didn't want to not only not support these industries, but I also wanted to speak out against them, because it wasn't enough to just be opposed to something. I actually wanted to let the world know that, hey, this suffering, although it may be legal, it's not humane. So I just kind of felt compelled to tell the world that, hey, while I'm against this, I'm going to let others know. I do know what's happening. I just wanted to share the message. So 6 months to a year after I became vegan, I started to do activism. And so after watching Cowspiracy, I just learned a lot about the environmental impact of animal agriculture.
Right.
And I just kind of felt more emboldened to say something about it. So it took me about a year for me to really get, like, active. So after watching Cowspiracy, I just propelled me into activism. So I joined Anonymous with this, and I've just been doing activism ever since.
Nice. That's interesting. Do you find, because from my experience, like, I've been a vegan for about third year, and I feel like it's the community's kind of split when it comes to activism. Like, I find that there are vegans who are animal activists, and I would say they're kind of extreme, like, because they sometimes criticize other vegans for not being animal activists or not, like, talking about animal cruelty enough. And then there's, on the other side, there's vegans that are, I guess, more quiet, and they don't really feel the need to be animal activists or talk about it. So I was wondering, like, do you think all vegans should be animal activists?
I don't think all vegans should be, because I tell people all the time that if you don't think you're going to be an activist, then don't. I mean, if you, well, I should say that, let me rephrase that. I'll say that if you think you're going to be a bad activist, then don't. Because there are some, like you said, if you're criticizing other vegans for what they're not doing, you probably aren't, you, I don't know if you should be advocating for animals, because if you're criticizing other people who are vegan, I don't know, the way you would talk to people vegan, and I don't know if that's productive. I mean, I would hope that the people that are vegan would want to become advocates and speak out against the suffering, because at the end of the day, it is about animals. But I would say that you don't have to be, and if you're uncomfortable doing advocacy, then don't do it. But don't close yourself up to doing it. Don't, not make it a possibility. Keep an open mind about it, but I would definitely think about it before you do it, because it's not for everyone. Just like I said, every form of activism isn't for me. Activism isn't for everyone. But I do hope that, since we are compassionate beings, since we are not eating animals because it comes from a place of suffering, I would hope that anyone that is vegan would want to let people know that and share information about that, just so they could, maybe treat someone in their personal life or just in the world in general, to maybe think about what they're doing and what they are contributing to. So no, I don't think everyone that's vegan should be an activist. I just hope that they keep their minds open to it.
Yeah, that, well said. Yeah, I totally agree with that. 'Cause there's also animal activists that are not vegan. And like, what are your thoughts on that, actually? Like, animal activists that are not vegan.
I think they, so the activists, animal activists that aren't vegan, they typically fight for things that vegans wouldn't fight for. So what they are doing is also needed. And although that's not, so I'll just explain the differences typically. So typically in the animal activist community, you have two types of activists. You have the type of activists that are considered welfarists, and you have the type that are considered abolitionists. So welfarists are people that fight for like better quality of life for animals. So, they may fight for animals to have better conditions and the slaughterhouses to be held to certain standards, or just to make sure that before the animals are killed, they have a higher quality or happier quality of life as much as possible. But then you have people like me that are abolitionists who are completely against the use of animals for exploitation as much as practically possible. So me, I wouldn't necessarily fight for animal welfare rights, but I'm not against people that do fight for that. So typically the people that are more welfarists are generally, just people who care about animals and may consider themselves animal lovers, but aren't abolitionists. And that's very needed, because everyone isn't going to be abolitionists, and everyone isn't going to have our perspective on animal suffering and abuse. Some people may feel we are too extreme, but some people may feel like, okay, well, although I am contributing to animal suffering, I may want these animals to live a higher quality of life, and I'll support that. And what that does is it helps like push the goal line for animal equality and animal liberation. So, I mean, essentially, we need everyone that is willing to fight in the best way that they know how, and to fight in the best way possible. So, if you're not a vegan and you're fighting for animal rights, I have no qualms, or I have nothing negative to say about you, because you are, I mean, you are a compassionate being, and you are fighting for compassion. So who am I or anyone to judge for what you're doing? But I would say that, you know, the goal should be to end all animal suffering and not to put a ceiling on your compassion. So I will hope that just throughout your endeavors or anyone's endeavors of fighting for animal, the better life or better quality of life for animals, I will hope that you are able to extend your compassion to understand that these are beings that deserve to be free from all forms of suffering, not just limited forms of suffering.
Thanks for sharing that, because I had no idea that there were like those two forms of activism. So that's really interesting.
Yeah. Wow. Yes, and like you said, it's a big divide. Like, I know people that are abolitionists who don't go like welfareist, or companies or organizations that may be considered welfareist, like they may not go to their demonstration protests. And I mean, I completely understand, but personally, I just put my energy towards animal suffering the best ways that I know I can. And if someone is holding an event, and while it may not be 100% of what I stand for, if it is in line with my morals, I don't, see an issue supporting those causes.
Right. What would you say is your most memorable encounter with someone?
So my most memorable encounter is, I would say that I think when people get kind of intimidated by activism because they think it's like intense. I mean, generally 9 times out of 10, you really don't run into any like negative encounters. And I think people see the people like arguing and debating on YouTube or something, and they think that like a lot of these conversations are intense, but generally people are like nice and kind. Like, no one really wants to argue on a street corner. Like, you want to run into people that are generally just open to having a honest conversation. So, but my most memorable encounter was probably someone that I was talking to. I started off the conversation, and at the beginning of them watching the footage, they kind of gave me like a hiss sound. They told me to shh. And he was like, I want to watch the footage. And I was like, okay, cool. So I just stood by and watched the footage with them for like a minute. And they just, after watching the minute of the footage, they just flat out asked me, how do I go vegan? Mm-hmm. And that was interesting because generally, we have these long, in-depth conversations. We ask people, tons of questions, and we try to, understand the psychology of why they're eating animals and contributing to these industries. And usually, it may take 15 minutes, it may take 30 minutes, who knows? You could talk to someone for an hour. But this guy just flat out came out and asked me how to go vegan after just watching the footage for 1 minute. And that was like super, that was powerful. So, yeah, that was probably my most memorable encounter.
I could kind of relate to that because when I was about to, like, my journey in becoming a vegan, I watched a lot of documentaries and videos, and the video that made me make my decision, like, yes, I want to do, like, adopt this lifestyle was, it was like a 5-minute video on the dairy industry and showing some footage of cows being abused. And after that video, I'm like, okay, how do I become vegan? Like, I want to do this. It kind of solidified it for me.
Was that the Dairy Scary video? Do you remember?
Yeah, she's actually an activist in Toronto. Erin?
Yeah, Erin Janice.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, that video was amazing. We showed that we did a weekend of activism Super Bowl in Atlanta this past February. And I think we had that video, like, in our city being played on a truck, like one of those trucks that, like, travel through the city with videos. So that was pretty cool.
Oh, wow. So with the, I know earlier when you were explaining Anonymous for the Voiceless, you said that you guys dress in all black with a mask. I was wondering, like, what's the meaning behind that?
So the meaning behind the all like is like just the just like it's the tone of serious and like we dress in all black and we stand in a straight line or our bodies are straight standing up and slouching or leaning kind of like the I forgot the name of the guards that stand by the buildings like with the big hats on.
Oh, in like Europe? Like by the.
Oh, I thought it was in Canada, but it could be in Europe. But anyone who like stands by the buildings, you know, they're like notoriously known for like not laughing. Like if you walk up to them and
Oh,
like wave
yeah.
in front of their face, they're like,
Yeah, I think
yeah, those
that's
guys.
in England.
England, okay,
Yeah.
England. So it's kind of like to present that kind of tone. So we were dressed in all black, to be taken seriously, and we wear the mask because the well, the mask has kind of become like known as this symbol of freedom and liberation. So, you know, coupled with that, it kind of lets people know that, you know, okay, whatever's going on over there, whether you know about it or you don't, whether you see it from like a mile away, you kind of get the sense that they're discussing something serious or they're for a purpose. They're not just like they're just because. So kind of sets a tone of seriousness for the for what we're doing and what we're talking about.
Interesting. Do you find like while you're out there on the streets, do you encounter people that maybe criticize like that look or criticize what you're doing?
Yeah, we do. Some of the it's all kinds of criticisms. Some people just like the mask because they have like these masks have like a twisted history from what I'm understanding. So they, I think from then they started out as a symbol of freedom, but then they got transposed into like a right wing thing, and it's like a chaotic history with the mask. But I do believe the origins of the mask are pure. As far as I can understand, as far as from my research, so people criticize the mask. People criticize us advocating for animals, not for humans. And you know what we often tell people is that, you know, oppression isn't limited to one type of being. It's a form of discrimination. So it doesn't matter if you're discriminating against someone because they're sexist or because of their sex. Of their race, because of their gender, their sexual orientation, you know, we can find ways to discriminate against people for different reasons. But we are just educating people that we discriminate against animals also, or and we call that speciesism. So there's different types of isms. We kind of have to educate people on that. Yeah, people say that we're elitist and that, you know, veganism is a is a luxury, and to a certain degree it is. A lot of people don't have the ability to be vegan, whether it's because of the living conditions they're living in, their acts. Like if you're homeless, you know, you obviously don't have the ability to be vegan. You know how much how much income you have, or if you're living in food deserts. So there are, you know, people that aren't able to be vegan. But for those of us that can, we just try to talk about people with the choice to be vegan. So we don't criticize people that aren't if they aren't able to. So yeah, it's a lot of different forms of criticism that come with this. But after a while, you kind of you hear a lot of objections, and you really know how to answer them. But you also just want to y'all you always want to speak to people unapologetically, but like make it a light tone. Like you don't want to take yourself too serious where you're like always mad or you're easily triggered. Like at the end of the day, we are talking to other human beings. So, you know, we do have compassion for other humans. So, you know, we just want to have a honest, open conversation. So as long as we're doing that, criticism that comes our way, you can take criticism, you know, on the chin. And then not be something that's like disrespectful to you or something that you feel offended by.
Yeah, and you, like, just talking to you for the past couple of minutes, you seem like a very calm activist and like a very approachable one. And like for people like me, that would be less intimidating. 'Cause like the ones that I've seen on social media and like YouTube and whatnot, like they're very, how do I explain? The
They're
opposite.
very passionate.
Yeah. So, I think that's good that. Sorry?
No, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I think that's really good that, like what you said, like you guys also have compassion for humans. At the end of the day, you're talking to a human, and even though you may encounter people that criticize you or not, you still respond, or you try your best to respond, like respect with respect.
Yeah, it's called the Socratic method, which is something that we use. And by nature, I'm just a calm person. Like all my life, I've pretty much been like a relaxed person. Like I've never really felt the need to like smoke weed because I'm just like super chill for the most part. So I'm like always on chill. But when we're speaking to people, it's actually this method called the Socratic method, where you listen to people and you base the conversation around what they're telling you. So I don't go into a conversation thinking, oh, I have to spit out all these facts, or I have to educate people on these certain things. No, I just go into a conversation and I'm like, okay, whatever they talk to me about is what I'm going to respond about. And also just knowing that, you do better when you speak to people on a human level, on a personal level. Like if someone is yelling at you to do something or telling you should do something, you're probably less likely to do it just because no one wants to be spoken down to. But if I'm having I can have an honest conversation with someone and disagree with them the whole time. But at the end of the day, if we both respect each other, we can have a fruitful conversation. So that's kind of how I approach it. And that's how most of the activists I know and most of the activists that I work with try to approach it. But yes, I have seen some activists that are just like extremely confrontational and it's just like over the top. And it doesn't help anyone because, at the end of the day, we are advocating for animals, and the animals, they aren't able to have these conversations with the people that are eating animal products. So, if it was them talking to someone, I think that they would want people that would represent them in a positive light as opposed to someone just yelling at other people and not getting anything done and not being productive.
Yeah, well said. Yeah, I respect that. That's 'cause when I my first encounter with veganism was about like 5 years ago, or even more, maybe 9 years ago, my first year of university. And we had I, at this university we had this vegan week. And like just there were video not videos but like booklets and pictures plastered all over campus of like images of animals being slaughtered and abused and whatnot. And some of the vegans that were talking about like animal cruelty, they're very confrontational, and it was a turn off for me. And like back then I'm like, oh, I would never go vegan, like no, this is really weird. And it was just a turn off, but then years later I become a vegan, which is funny.
Wow, it's crazy because had they been more approachable, you probably would have considered it earlier. Who knows? That just shows the power of the way you talk to people. And who knows? Like you could have been vegan for 5 years that they just set a proper example. So it's definitely unfortunate that people turn people off of doing something right just by how they approach it. And like, I probably felt the same way. Like if I would have encountered some hostile or negative, angry vegans some years ago, I probably would have disassociated with them just because it's like their attitude, like, I want to be a part of that, whatever that is, like, just I just want to stay away from it. So I totally get it. I totally understand.
Yeah, and I think also your approach, because in a previous episode, I was speaking to one of my friends, Sheldamar, and like we were talking about like your approach when talking about veganism. It should, like, sometimes it changes depending on who you talk to. So like a person who, like we talked about, like black person, like black, poor, middle class from the Caribbean that's like used to meats, versus like a upper class white person, the approach would be different. And like even talking to people that are First Nation, like we call, like in Canada we call them First Nations, in America you guys call them Native Indians or Native Americans.
Okay.
So like even like talking to them, I feel like the approach you use would be different depending on like their race or culture, social class.
Yeah, absolutely. But also as someone who's like a part of a marginalized group, it's like I don't want to go somewhere where people are advocating for animals and hear them talking about slavery.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel right, especially if the person isn't like me or isn't, you know, African descent or Caucasian, and it doesn't come across. So you got to be aware of it sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And just be aware that, you know, we all have privileges of some sort. Like, I'm pretty sure I could talk to a room full of women about something that may not resonate the same way if it comes from a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the nature of us as beings. So yeah, this, I think that does happen in the vegan movement often, but yeah, I think we do have to be aware of that because it does turn people off and it's counterproductive. So
right.
It's just something to be mindful of.
Well said. So we're slowly coming to the end of this episode, and I just want to say thank you for sharing all that information and opening my eyes more to like what animal activism is and isn't. And like, I like what you said at the beginning, how it's a spectrum. So yeah, that was very interesting. And I was wondering if we can conclude with if there's anyone listening who may be interested in getting involved in animal activism, what are some resources you would recommend?
So yeah, to just add on to what you were saying, yeah, it definitely is a spectrum, and for anyone that is considering it, just know that, one, like I was saying earlier, there are different types of activism. So you could do something as small as like start a Twitter account and just have debates or discussions with people online, or be active on Facebook or Instagram, you know, be active in your own way. But if you want to do something more traditional, more formal, you can go to cubeoftruth.com, which is a website that's a part of Anonymous for the Voiceless, or you can go to anonymousforthevoiceless.org. Both of them are essentially the same thing. And if you are interested in starting a chapter near you to do Cubes of Truth, you can start on, or you can join another chapter that already exists. There are 900 chapters that exist in the world. So there are plenty of chapters that exist already. You can also go to, I believe it's the Humane League, if you just Google them or go to their website. They have internships where you can do events with them. You can organize with them, or you can be a part of their events. You can also go to the SAVE movement and become a member of the SAVE movement. So I think that's the SAVE movement. It's either the SAVEmovement.com or the SAVEmovement.org. You can also get involved with PETA. They have a lot of different initiatives. So they help you organize, they give you free supplies, they kind of keep you updated on events that are happening. So just want to, you know, become involved, I think any of those four are a good start. There are other organizations also, Mercy for Animals, Compassion Over Killing is another organization, but I think those are the ones off the top of my head that can help you, like, get involved in terms of animal activism.
Nice. Thanks for sharing. And real quick, also, if there's any listeners that are interested in following your work, you could just share your websites, social media outlets.
So if anyone wants to just reach out and ask any questions, or need advice or anything, you know, related to activism or diet and lifestyle, so all my social media handles are at @Soul_Eubanks. That's at @SOUL_EUBANKS. Or you can also go to soulubanks.com. It's my website, and leave me a message there. Often have people reach out for like collaborative requests. So that's the website you can go to contact me there. So I think between those two, you should be able to get in contact with me.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for sharing, and thanks for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having this podcast and just like presenting other perspectives of veganism and vegan voices. You know, we don't have too many people of color with outlets in the movement. And it's growing, but it's not quite where it should be, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But it's getting better. But I just like to thank you and say I appreciate all that you're doing to spread the message and bring, you know, a platform to people to talk about compassion.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
And that concludes episode 35. If you have any questions or comments about this episode, you could send me a DM on Instagram. My Instagram account is @thesweettoothvegan_, or you could connect with Soul, and his Instagram account is @Soul_Eubanks. And if you, or if you know someone that is interested in being a guest on my show, please send me a DM as well, or you could send me an email. I would love to connect with you and bring more exciting and interesting content to the show. And real quick, before I end this podcast episode, I just want to say, if you are interested in ordering some delicious vegan handmade treats by yours truly, Shalina, you could check out my website, The Sweet Tooth Vegan, and go onto the bakery page, and you could order some delicious scones, blueberry lemon scones or pumpkin spice scones. I recently started making cookies, and they've been a great hit at various shows that I've been vending at. So yeah, definitely, if you have a sweet tooth, I also bake. Yeah. And until next time, take care.